Fantastic.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to another week here at the Damage Report. Hopefully you heard that. I didn't, and that actually throws me off quite a bit. Anyway, Francesca is here. Well, not here, but Francesca, you are there.
Francesca, I'm around.
How's it going? You're around. Okay.
I'm good.
Where are you?
Oh, I'm in Boston, Massachusetts. I don't know if you heard of it.
Nice.
The streets are paved in, you know, red coat blood. So
I know. No. I love that. Look, they elect Michelle Wu, you know, a progressive, and instantly progressives start moving across the country to Boston.
Oh yeah, baby, Boston's back. It's good to be here. I hope everything's okay. Technically, I'm like very scared. I did something wrong.
I'm sure that you did. Anyway, we're very glad to have you here. Mondays are exciting times at the Damage Report. People are turning themselves into the authorities. Elon Musk is reminding you what trash he is. We've got, Michael Flynn thinks we should only have one religion. Stay tuned to find out which one. But anyway, we've got a lot that we're gonna be talking about through the course of this show. And then after the show, we do our top 10 list for our tier 2 and tier 3 members on YouTube. So you did see that, right?
Oh, who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, please. Yes.
Okay, of course. I'm just making sure. It's a weird one. So Francesca and I are gonna promote who we think, if humanity could choose one human to talk to the aliens for us, who would we send? We're gonna be choosing those people.
Top 10 reasons why it shouldn't be Elon Musk. It's really the same list.
Exactly, it's the same exact list. Oh, also by the way, I don't know, like this isn't official or whatever. It is the 1 year anniversary of us having YouTube members. So thank you to everybody who signed up on that first day during the pre-show. We were getting a bunch of those like 12 month reminders. So thank you everybody, it's a fun little community. We've done more than 50 top 10 lists. We've done a dozen Q&As with all of you and it's been really fun. So thank you for helping support the network and the show in that way. That said, anything else we need to get to before we get to all the things we need to get to?
I don't know, dude. I mean, the Bituation room is tomorrow instead of last night. So like, stay tuned for that on my YouTube channel at Franifio. And other than that, man, I'm ready. Let's dive in, baby.
Okay, well, you're ready. We'll see if Steve Bannon is ready. Let's jump into this.
I just want to say, tell everybody, get live stream on Getter right now. Everybody watching in the war room, we're here today. I don't want anybody to take their eye off the ball, what we do every day. Okay, we got the Hispanics coming on our side, African Americans coming on our side. We're taking down the Biden regime. Every day, the focus, you got Raheem Kassam today, you got Dr. Peter Navarro, Captain Bannon. You're gonna have Boris Epstein, the whole show. Intense, we got polling out, economic data out, everything. I want you guys to stay focused, stay on message. Remember, signal not noise. This is all noise, that's signal. Thank you very much.
Okay, everybody. So that is the little that's left of Steve Bannon. He had been evading not only a subpoena, but evading turning himself in for a few days. Eventually, they found the plot that he was in. They dug him up, and there he is. And that video that we were showing you there of Steve Bannon, formerly, he worked in the White House for like a while, and now this is what's left of him. He was live streaming on Gitter, and so now. He has been taken into custody. Let's see, he was charged with 2 counts of contempt of Congress following his refusal to comply with demands to produce documents and sit for a deposition as part of the investigation into January 6th. Each count of contempt of Congress is a misdemeanor punishable by up to 1 year in jail and a maximum fine of $100,000. We will see what ends up coming from literally any of that. But last month, he had been asked to comply with a subpoena and he chose not to, very much chose not to. He said at the time that he didn't have to because his communications with Trump are protected by executive privilege, despite Bannon not even working in the federal government at the time of the insurrection. Like, hadn't he been fired years earlier? Trump had been bad mouthing him for years. He still, even his private stuff that isn't with Trump, is supposed to be under executive privilege after being fired years prior. That is an expansive definition of executive power. But let's bear in mind that that is the conception of executive power Republicans have while they are in charge. What do you think, Francesca?
I mean, it's really interesting because we don't yet live in a kleptocracy. We soon may, should Trump get another chance, another swing at the White House, or should someone else like, you know, Tucker Carlson, etc., also do that. But like Bannon already operates in this world of like, of no. Me and like the king, who's still the king in my mind, we like, if we're friends, if I still have his number, you know what I mean? If I can still get through, if he texts me back, then like I'm untouchable. And so that's, it very much operates like a Putin-esque like kleptocracy in their minds. But it's like, no, bro, we don't live in that country yet, despite your attempts to do so. Mm-hmm. I gotta get handed to him. He knew that the optics of him being dragged out by I don't know whom, the feds, would look bad. So instead he decided to turn himself in. But I do think he stood a chance at escaping their grasp with all of the layers of, you know, jackets. And that's what all the shirts are for. You just slip out from one LL Bean into another. And then I think that's how you evade any responsibility. But yeah, I mean, we know this guy said some heinous things before January 6th. That's what this is all about. He said something like, what? This is where we kill the Biden administration in the cradle? I know we're gonna get to more details, but yeah, hey, good for him on turning himself in and live stream away, baby. Get her done.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, yeah, I love the three black shirts with the three black pens. Okay, so here's the thing. He's got three black shirts on, he's got three black pants. I have no idea what it means. I don't think anyone watching this knows what it means, but I think we can probably guess. In some form online, it means murder all the Democrats, I'm sure. Do you doubt that that's, like, three pens at that angle means in March they're gonna kill Chrissy Teigen and Kamala Harris? Like, does anyone doubt that that is what that means to 7 million Americans? Anyway, let's see. The funny thing is, back on Friday, right before it was announced that he would have to serve himself for justice, he was doing a show called Bannon's War Room. Again, doesn't support the insurrection, just hosts a war room. Anyway, we're taking action, and that action is we're taking over school boards. We're taking over the Republican Party through the precinct committee strategy. We're taking over all the elections. Suck on this. I think piranha have sucked on all of that. It just looks like something's been nipping at his flesh and taking out little bits. But yeah, they want to take over everything. He sees this as a part of it, turning himself in. So Francesca's totally right. I'm sure from his point of view, this is an optics win. How dare, like, they're taking this guy in. He's trying to stand up to like their power. But also bear in mind at the same time, he didn't have to comply with the subpoena like you would. You could not go a month without doing that. And then finally, once they said you're gonna be charged, he was like, yeah, I'll turn myself in on Monday. Do you think you get to like take a nice, long, relaxing weekend before? And so again, it's this ridiculous thing where simultaneously they are shielded by layers of LL Bean and privilege, and yet they're the ones fighting against the deep state. He could take a vacation. He could go to Mexico before he serves himself. And you could not. It's ridiculous, the double standard there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's the perp walk situation, right? And like, I'm pretty sure like the parents involved in the college admission scandal had, you know, less time to comply than Steve Bannon, right? Steve Bannon was just like on his boat making deals with like Chinese oligarchs. You know, he's behind the scenes. It's very scary. Like Bannon has this like bizarre world order plan. I mean, he has crazy, I don't know, yeah, plans in his brain to, you know, take over Western Europe and restore it to Western civilization. You know, he's been like consulting with right-wing populists, supposed populists, the world over. So the guy really does like freak the hell out of me. So when he says things, you know, like, this is just the beginning, don't get distracted. I'm like, God, you got, I like, you're a joke, but he's almost the least, he's the least joke of the entire Trump administration, because the guy is
pretty committed. Open about it.
He's pretty open, and he's pretty committed to his like, you know, hey, what if we just have like a white ethno state in the future, and we call it populism, but you know, mostly it's fascism.
Yeah, it's they got some elements of fascism. I think largely economically, they just want feudalism back again. They just want a royal aristocratic class that rules everything, that controls everything. That's what they want. Anyway, we did see right before going live with this, there was a statement about Steve Bannon. Who do you think the statement's from? What does your gut say? You feel a cold chill crawling up your spine. Who's it from? A
statement about Steve
Bannon.
It's
from Trump.
Oh, so I was going to say Alex Jones. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. That's true. No, he has his own legal troubles today, actually, which we're not even covering. But Donald Trump put out this statement. This country has perhaps never done to anyone what they have done to Steve Bannon, and they're looking to do it to others also. They just, they subpoenaed him and he didn't comply with it. So he's facing contempt of Congress. Look, I'm not even gonna Google it. That's definitely happened before. That's not the first time. If they would be so tough with China, Russia, and the world, now we want them to be tough with Russia, who no longer respects us, maybe our country would not be failing at a level at which we have never seen before. He never says anything when he's talking. We never talk about making our capital C country great, and it's now heading in an unthinkable direction with the Afghanistan withdrawal, open borders, inflation, woke everything, and so much more. The USA is a radicalized mess. Well, you had me at the end there. I do think you've got a point about the radicalized mess. I don't know about the woke everything. And man, does he want the Afghanistan withdrawal to still be in the news.
I know. Yeah. Well, my favorite part about that is that he doesn't say that much, but he totally said something pretty revealing. He was like, you know, and Russia, who doesn't respect us anymore, which is a big old hat tip to his buddy Putin, like a little bit of a like, see, because when I was groveling and was saying, like, slapping his wrist playfully and saying, don't spy on us and hack our elections again, you know, he took me very seriously. The fact that I am essentially a puppet and he helped me get elected, that's when he takes our country seriously, when we just do everything that he wants. Like, it's just so funny, like, who doesn't respect us anymore? Oh my God.
Yeah, I don't think he gets how respect actually works. Bannon has now turned himself in, and already the threats are coming in from the right that, like, how dare you take down this good man, Steve Bannon? We're gonna do the same to you. And so, let's see, Elise Stefanik says, for years, Democrats baselessly accused President Trump of weaponizing the DOJ. In reality, it is the left that has been weaponizing the DOJ the entire time, from the false Russia hoax to the Soviet style prosecution of political opponents. You know the DOJ, full of leftists. But anyway, we've been in charge secretly. Francesca actually runs half of the DOJ. And so we already had power with it and we were taking them out. Let's see, Representative Jim Jordan says, Joe Biden has eviscerated executive privilege. There are a lot of Republicans eager to hear testimony from Ron Klain and Jake Sullivan when we take back the House. Well, see, the difference there is that they work for Biden. Bannon was a right-wing podcaster who did not work for Trump anytime near when these communications were going on. Let's see, Lauren Boebert says, now that Democrats have started these politically motivated indictments for contempt of Congress, I look for, why is that capitalized? I look forward to seeing their reactions when we keep that same energy as we take back the House next year. And really fast, I don't doubt that, yeah, they're going to do all sorts of nonsense to fill the time and not have to actually talk about what's going on in America. But I love that, like, Lauren Boebert thinks that, like, when they take over, she's gonna be like a core part of the taking over of Congress. Like, they don't, that's not how they see you, Lauren Boebert.
But I don't think. My fifth child in the front seat of my pickup truck.
Mm-hmm. Like, okay.
No.
They'll send you out there to, like, get the right fired up a bit. I don't think they're giving you power, really. Look, there's a lot of chuckleheads and jokers in the Republican Party, including in Republican leadership. But if you could get on a recording Republican leadership talking about Marjorie Greene, Matt Gaetz, Madison Cawthorn, Lauren Boebert, you think that they're like, no, this is, like, seriously the future of our party. We need to groom them. They will lead us someday. I severely doubt that.
You know why? Like, okay, this is just a total aside, but it's so cruel. Why? Obviously, they're jokes and what they're saying makes no sense. But they're just taking cues from people with far more power than them. They've been taking cues from people like Stephen Miller and like Donald Trump. The difference is that they're women and, according to Trump, I'm sure, are like a six at best. You know what I mean? Like, it's totally because they're like not hot enough. They're not going to be part of the inner circle. You've got to pass the Ivanka hotness test. And if you do, then I mean, I'm not even joking. Like, that's it's so like tell me if I'm being I'm wrong or not. I'm totally not wrong. They're saying the same crap. They're just like, no, I feel like I wouldn't keep her in the pageant of Miss Universe. So
Look, if your theory is that they are rabidly misogynistic, I think that there is reason to believe that you are correct.
Yeah.
But I do think that they probably see Matt Gaetz and Madison Cawthorn exactly the same. It's like, these are people that we can put on Fox News and they'll say something crazy and ignorant that like will get the base fired up. But they don't, like, we've seen in response to the charges against Matt Gaetz, like, he's popular on Fox News, but even they were willing to judge him. That doesn't mean that they respect him inside of the party.
Yeah,
I mean, we'll see how that right wing squad develops over time. But yeah, there's definitely some misogyny, but I do think that there are also some male members that would be lumped in by leadership in the same way.
For sure. No, you're right. I mean, Matt Gaetz is a little bit like, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole given what he's embroiled in right now.
That's true.
But what I'm going to say about Boebert and her, like, the blowing this out of proportion, he's been held in contempt of Congress for not turning over documents on the January 6th investigation. Yeah. Like, this is not, and not sitting for an interview as they investigate what happened. That's all that's going on right now. So it's like, like, y'all, do you understand what January 6th actually was? Clearly, they do not. Shoe on the other foot. Oh my God. What would have happened and what would be happening had Democrats had actual, you know, so-called Antifa, whatever, it doesn't matter, but had Democrats tried to overturn an election? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So that's all we're doing. It's not like anyone's gonna hold Bannon accountable for all the things. Mark my words, we're gonna find out everything he said, we're gonna find out everything he did, but just like all of the crimes and all of the things that he was doing while he was in, like, assisting Trump in national security, he's not been held accountable for that. He's not going to be held accountable for what happened on January 6th either. You know, again, our supposed deep state, right? The DOJ is an incredibly conservative institution, right? Robert Mueller, an incredibly conservative, a lifelong Republican. So let's not fall into the trap.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, no, he's Robert Mueller, longtime lefty Republican.
Yeah, longtime Antifa supporter.
Yeah, and look. So Lauren Boebert there. By the way, Matt Gaetz tweeted out hashtag Team Bannon. Late breaking comment from Steve Bannon. Dude, don't lump me in with you. I'm going to jail, but like, I have standards. Anyway, Lauren Boebert's like, we're gonna do the same thing. And of course there are, like, by the way, they already did. They did their hearings for, what was it, like 3 years about Benghazi. And here's the thing, if you're in charge, you can hold hearings, you can do that, and you can enforce subpoenas. And we as commentators can weigh how serious you actually are about this material. How opportunistic is it? We get to do that. The thing is, nobody buys that they, 3 years after Benghazi, were that, like, they're just really aggrieved by it. It was obviously a political thing that they felt could do damage to Hillary Clinton. That is indisputable at this point. With this, there is a slight difference with January 6th. Like, we just found out that months after the insurrection, the president was taking the side of the potential lynchers of his vice president. We didn't find out that, like, 4 months after Benghazi, like, Hillary Clinton was asked, well, you know, they were saying hang Americans, and Clinton was like, well, you know, that's just common sense, basically. They're very mad, and I understand that. Like, there is a difference. Everybody thought Benghazi was bad. With this, they're taking the side on a daily basis with the insurrectionists. Marjorie Greene is tweeting about the political prisoners of war without seeming to understand that she's implying that it's a war. That's a weird messaging thing, but They take the side to this day. It is still a threat. So anyway, yeah, bring it on. You're gonna get in power almost certainly because the Democrats, as we'll talk about later, are doing a terrible job. And then we're going to see what ridiculous scandal they try to make a story for 3 years. We'll see.
No,
I would love it if it could be like the drone strike in Afghanistan. You want to make Afghanistan the news? Focus on the drone strike and why that happened. I guarantee they're going to find something completely lacking in substance to consume 2 years of our time.
100%. The last thing I'll say is, you know, it really is in the Democrats' court at this point, you know. And it's sad that even with something like January 6th, that you cannot, you don't even have to spin it. Your party is so weak. Your rhetoric is so hollow. Your convictions so loose. Your willingness to change and to commit to actually helping people is so thin that you can't even capitalize on this moment where the other party tried to overturn a Democratic election and you're losing the rhetoric on this. Wow, it's so sad. And here's the thing, when I understand that Biden wanted to move forward and actually get legislation passed. And we see how that's going, right? We see how that's stalling. We see how that's being stripped for parts. But the January 6th stuff, just even in speaking about it, right? Let's say, okay, let's say you don't want to talk about the pandemic anymore because people are tired. They think you're, tyrannical vaccine mandate, whatever, whatever. Okay, you don't have to talk about the pandemic. But why not talk about what happened on January 6th over and over and over again? Remind us. And they don't. Yeah. It's this whole, we're moving forward, not looking back, trying to be Obama, and that failed Obama. Like looking forward from the Bush administration failed Obama.
And does everyone remember what we got after Obama? Yeah. We got Trump after Obama.
Absolutely. It is, I mean, it's a longer conversation, but it is absolutely a reflection of the failure of the Democratic Party and led by Obama to actually counter and to stake claim on the narrative that like the Republican Party is the one who indebted this entire country with trillions of dollars in foreign wars. Hello? Yeah. And now you're letting the right claim that? Come on.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, buddy, we are gonna go to our first break. I do wanna let you know that we have to fix a small little technical problem. So it's gonna be a full slated break and whatever, but we will be reading your comments and super chats and all that a little bit later on. So stick around, we'll be back in a few. Welcome back, everyone. We're the Damage Report mostly. I'm John Iderola. Francesca's here as well. We have got a lot to get to, which we will jump back to in just a minute. But we lost out on our social break, so I just want to read a couple comments because I want to do that. Vanta Dragon had said in a super chat, "Hi, John and Francesca. Today is my wife's birthday. Can I get a shout out to Chibi Dragon from both of you? The whole family loves everything you both do. Keep it up." Well, don't say you love everything we do. You don't know about some of the things we do. But happy birthday, Chibi Dragon. Thank you for watching.
Chibi. Happy birthday, Chibi.
Oh God. Okay, Trima Batiki gifted a tier one sub over on Twitch. Very nice of you, Tree. Insomnia Noir did as well. Yeetwood Mac gifted 5. Thank you. Blue Tech the Belgian Dragon gifted 5 as well. And I saw this comment from Mapboy said, "You always shortchange me, John, on my resubs, every 12 of them." That's a good point. I'll have to look out for your next one. But moving on, I'm kidding, I just saw it. It's 13 months from MapWa, says woohoo. Over a year of TYT keeping me sane and insane at the same time. Sorry if I've missed any of the previous ones. It will probably happen again in the future, but thank you for watching. Anyway, with that, why don't we jump back into this thing? It's crazy to think that there are still things we can discover about how horrible the pandemic was. People revealing more and more behind the scenes information from inside of the initial response, including Chris Christie, who you're seeing right there. He, of course, got COVID and was hospitalized, spent a week in an ICU. And he recently said that when he was hospitalized with COVID back in October of 2020, President Donald Trump called to make sure that Chris Christie didn't plan on blaming him for the infection. Trump apparently made the call, and this is not a joke, while he himself was also hospitalized at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center with COVID. I just love it. They were both hospitalized for COVID when this happened. So how did the pandemic go? Not great, not great. Trump was apparently concerned about the optics of Christie's hospitalization, apparently unconcerned about the optics of his own hospitalization. Anyway, Christie recalled Trump asking him, Are you going to say you got it from me? Now, notably, we don't know if he got it from Trump, but we do know that Trump was related to him getting it. They were holding all of these big events, like happily, blissfully not wearing masks and not abiding by any of the standards for, you know, social distance and all that. And so far as I remember, Christie never blamed Donald Trump for him getting COVID. Even in this interview, he doesn't appear to blame him for it, but he does talk up how horrible the experience was and that he hopes people don't experience it like he did. Francesca, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Trump called to save his own ass and he was like, are you gonna blame me? Cause I'm gonna blame you. So I just, cause like if you weren't gonna blame me, like we can't both blame one another. And actually, if I remember the timeline, and maybe I'm totally wrong, I thought Chris Christie was hospitalized and got COVID first and then Trump got COVID. But
that's the way I remember it. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I don't think Trump gave him COVID.
I remember we kept on swiping closer and closer, you know, to the real throne there, and we finally got there. We meaning the Wuhan lab, because I have been working. Oops.
You got paid by Fauci for several years.
You know, it's been a year. I should probably just out and out with it. Yes, I was.
Yeah.
And the money was good. Look.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our producer's reminding us he was in the hospital. Yeah, so I think he was in the ICU for at least 7 days in total isolation. He might have been in the hospital for longer. But anyway, look, again, as with all of these revelations, like that, like Jonathan Carl sat on the Hang Mike Pence stuff for 6 months or so. Christie's sitting on this for a lot longer, like how worried Trump was that he would be blamed for it. And what do you know, now that we're way out of that situation, we're way past the election, Christie is coming up with criticisms of Trump, by the way, that go beyond just COVID. He recently blamed Trump's rhetoric about the stolen election for the January 6th insurrection. He's saying it wasn't just one speech, it was speeches and meetings and tweets and videos and all of that month after month that eventually led to the insurrection. And he does blame Trump for that. So finally, you know, I guess he can criticize Trump a little bit to some extent this far out from the election.
Oh God, these shades of goon, you know, and like, yeah, yay, slowest clap ever for Chris Christie for saying and acknowledging that yes, Trump did stoke and support essentially an insurrection. Yeah. Okay, cool, man. Yeah, are you know, what's next for you, buddy? You gonna try and win the nomination of the Republican Party? No, you're not gonna get it. You and Liz Cheney and everyone else, you know, you'll get some kudos from centrist corporate Dems on news media, and even us, we'll just, you know, slow clap for you. But stop trying to pull yourself.
Hold up.
Yeah.
You think that's why we're talking about this? Did you see the next graphic? No, because even this guy who's like, I'm not saying he gave me COVID, but maybe he gave me COVID. And also he definitely did the insurrection. Ooh, look at me. When asked whether he would support Trump in 2024, he says, let's see who he is and what he says and how he conducts himself. You just blamed him for an insurrection. And even you, tough guy Chris Christie, you're like, well, I mean, I might vote for him. There's no tough guys. There's no tough guys anymore.
He didn't really try to kill me directly.
It was just a side effect of his complete incompetence and not caring about human life.
Look, here's the thing. It is revealing though that Trump does show a little bit of awareness, self-awareness, you know, because again, we all doubt whether he has object permanence, whether he knows, you know, how when something disappears, it's actually, you know, not gone forever. But like, he is showing here that he knows damn well that a good portion, maybe 500,000 people of the 760,000 who died of COVID, that those bodies are on his watch, that he was the one, and I know we're gonna get into it more, but he was the one who downplayed this virus. And not only did it kill people that he didn't know and he didn't care about and he used his pawns, it killed people who were very, very close to him. It killed his bishops. And his, you know, whatever else in chess makes sense. But you know, Herman Cain and Chris Christie nearly killed Chris Christie. So again, like he understands that. And so What about Democrats? Do we understand that? Or do they understand that? The ones in power, the leadership, enough to hold the Trump administration accountable for the blood that is on their hands?
Yeah. And well, by the way, remember, Melania got it too. Like, it is difficult to conceive of humans more insulated from COVID. Like many, many regular working Americans, no matter how much they tried to protect themselves, had to interact. They're forced to. And so many of them got sick despite making all the right moves. Think about how irresponsible Trump had to be inside of his multiple layers, bubbles, shells of protection from COVID that he still got it and gave it to a whole bunch of people. But anyway, you are right that a lot of the blame goes on him. I'm gonna be wondering the rest of my life how the share of the blame should be distributed between Trump and right wing media. Because I feel like right wing media really pressured Trump to be as bad as he could be in that area, but these are philosophical concerns. We have recently found out even more about how Trump and his administration tried to stop people from understanding how bad the pandemic was, how bad it was likely to become. We have these newly released documents by a congressional committee. We found out just last Friday that there are emails and transcripts with former senior CDC officials about the White House's attempts to sideline the agency at critical moments at the beginning of the US outbreak. Like, everybody knows that into the outbreak, they started doing this more and more. And then you had the demonization of the CDC from right-wing media, but it began very early. The emails and transcripts detail how in the early days of 2020, Trump and his allies in the White House blocked media briefings and interviews with CDC officials, attempted to alter public safety guidance normally cleared by the agency, and instructed agency officials to destroy evidence that might be construed as political interference, which I believe that is multiple layers of interference. You're interfering and then trying to cover up the interference as well. So anyway, as CDC learned more and more about the spread of the disease, how bad it was and all that, they wanted to hold briefings about mask guidance and other issues. Their requests were denied. And why not? Trump and his administration didn't want people to think this was going to be serious. They wanted to roll the dice and hope that against all odds, we would be the one country in the world that it wouldn't hit. And they weren't going to allow meetings early on that in theory could have resulted in us being prepared months in advance for how COVID was likely to spread. But then that might signal to people that it was gonna be bad, and he doesn't want that going on. So again, the decisions they made as an administration were designed to protect them politically, not you in terms of your public health.
And this is what Joe Biden needs to be saying every single day. And forcefully, you know, let's get some of that like malarkey energy. Let's get some of that, you know, corn pop, you know, let's get some of that corn pop juice going. Seriously, every single day you need to be saying, I'm the one that took this pandemic seriously. Trump is the one who did not. This is criminal negligence, right? And so, yeah, are courts striking down my vaccine mandate? Here's why there's a mandate: to protect you and your family and your workers and the economy and your lives and your communities. And guess who doesn't care about that? Donald Trump and the entire right-wing apparatus does not care about that. I don't wanna hear it in the back rooms. I don't wanna hear it in little snippets and little snide remarks to different journalists. I want Biden out in front saying that, not looking down at his hands, not looking down at the floor, into cameras every single day. Seriously, remind us that, because that's exactly what happened. And it is criminal negligence. And I wonder what's going to happen in the future, whether, you know, we'll just sell a lot of books off of this new revelation and you know, be on our way.
Yeah. Some will sell books, some will try in vain. Like, Chris Christie is definitely going to run again. He was like bad mouthing others who might run, saying like, if they say they won't run if it's Trump, then they're disqualified. Well, he's just, dude, they're not gonna want you. They're not gonna want you. Seriously, how can people be so blind? I don't understand it. By the way, just one other thing I wanna reference though is so in addition to interfering with the work of CDC officials, the documents show that Dr. Scott Atlas, Trump's special advisor, weakened COVID-19 testing while pushing a dubious herd immunity strategy. So you remember a couple of months where we were talking every day about herd immunity and Scott Atlas and his BS claims and Trump saying, I said, slow the testing down. And then everyone's like, why are people freaking out about that quote? He was joking about crippling our testing protocols. That's it. No, he wasn't. As we were saying at the time, He did not want tests because they demonstrated how much COVID there was. So he brought in a guy who wanted to do herd immunity, which just means have people get COVID. They actually did that. They actually weakened the COVID-19 testing. But we were made out to be crazy for thinking that they would do that, which is very much in line with their entire COVID strategy going back literally months. If you were worried about it, they were calling you crazy as well. And now we find out a year later that they did it. So what are the consequences? Is Scott Atlas gonna face any sort of ethical or legal concerns? He literally helped hamper testing protocols designed to save people's lives. He was brought in specifically to do that. There will be no consequences for literally anyone involved in any of this. They have found a way, as I said multiple times last year, they found loopholes in our murder laws. You are allowed to murder people if you make it a little bit indirect. If you use a disease and you just spread it out a whole bunch, you can get away with murder too.
What sucks about this country and about the lack of accountability in the justice system and the lack of the accountability for former officials and to really go after people. And again, not in a witch hunt way, not in a way that we want to politicize, but in a way that actually shows that no, this democracy is accountable for itself and is accountable for the crimes. And it doesn't just, elites don't just protect one another, but sadly they do. What it is, it's on victims. It's on families of people who died because of coronavirus, because of negligence. It's on families of bus drivers who continue to drive their routes and who got sick because people weren't wearing masks or people, or they weren't told that, that it was a big deal. I mean, this is what it's going to take. It's going to take a massive lawsuit like that against former Trump officials. We knew this stuff also from Bob Woodward, that back in early January, whenever it was, maybe even December, I've like literally blocked that out from my brain. That Trump knew that there was a pandemic, that it was spreading, that would most certainly come to the States. The last thing I'm gonna say is,
he said in that really fast, he said in that, it's not just the flu. And then publicly he went out and said for months, it's just the flu. And that's what the right wing did.
Yes. And the last thing I'll say is, there was a member of the CDC that did go and speak to the public, and that threw Trump off. He was mad at her for speaking publicly, for warning Americans. She was doing her job, she was doing her duty. But because we've politicized literally everything, including the CDC, Trump did. It was like, oh, no, you cross me, you cross the king, you cross the kleptocrats, then you're out. And guess what? You just made me fold my arms and not take this seriously as bodies piled and piled and piled. I mean, that's what happens when you deal with authoritarianism. And it doesn't even matter the political persuasion, generally tends to be to the right, but all kind of authoritarianism means you can't question, you can't second guess, you can't sound the alarm, even if it's in the public interest.
We are rapidly running out of hours, so we're gonna try to get through these next two stories. We will be reading some of your comments in a little bit, but I wanna make sure that we deliver on all of this insane news. So let's jump right into this video.
And they're talking about the United States of America. Talking about the United States of America, because when Matthew mentioned it in the Bible, he wasn't talking about the physical ground that he was on. He was talking about something in the distance. So if we are going to have one nation under God, which we must, we have to have one religion, one nation under God and one religion under God, right? All of us together, working together.
Okay, so that's Mike Flynn. He was a government official, before he lied to the FBI and eventually was charged and all that. We'll go through a lot of that history, but you need to understand that a few days ago, he was at this event with a bunch of crazies of different varieties. So you had QAnon cultists, you had rabid anti-vaxxers, you had sitting Republican attorney generals and things like that. So all sorts of different crazies in there. Mike Flynn said that we need one nation under God, one religion under God. We need one religion. They believe that this is actually what we should have. I really wish that he'd been more specific, Francesca, in that video about which one it was gonna be. I mean, there's so many great contenders for which religion he might mean, different pros and cons for them. But whatever it is, I'm guessing Jainism at this point, we would only have the one. So what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Scientologists are like, is it us? Is it our turn? Xenu? No, look, first of all, Scientologists actually believe in the vaccine. So honestly, they're doing one better than MAGA folks and Trumpers. Let's be real about this. These are folks who actually believe in like a volcano and aliens that live inside that are going to be released one day. And then we'll all get our own private unit, like world. Anyway,
I don't know.
But yeah, look at the base. Look at what's happened. You know, and so then you got clowns like Chris Christie coming out, and even clowns like Liz Cheney coming out and pretending like this isn't the Republican Party that we've all witnessed lose its mind over the last, you know, I don't know, 5-6 years, very much longer than that. But this is what they've done. And they get crazier and crazier and more obsessed and more cultish. And yes, it all has to do with the cagey words and the like very thinly veiled words around like Christian white identity, Western civilization. The United States is 70% Christian for those who identify as religious. What more do you want? I think you got it on lock, buddy.
I don't know. It's just, it's not enough. They want, look, because again, it's not about them looking out at the current state of Christianity and evaluating it versus what they want it to be. It is, no matter how Christian our society is, and they will at times say, of course we should be Christian because all of our values are Christian, our history is Christian. So they're admitting that it overwhelmingly is the dominant religious influence. It also has to be victimized at all turns. They have to simultaneously be the undisputed champions, and they're coming for you at all times. They took your Christmas. Do you know that? That's one of the sort of ridiculous hypocrisies at the heart of all of this. But anyway, look, it's insane. It's unconstitutional. He's a former government official, former military officer to be saying this. To say that we should have the one is to say we shouldn't have the others. And obviously there, you know, he has no interest in Islam or anything like that. But also Judaism doesn't fit into a, you know, a context where you have the one religion, which is odd. Like if Ilhan Omar breathes funny, we shut down Congress over her comments. But this guy effectively says there should be no Jewish influence anywhere in our society or government. We have the one is ridiculous. But that said, that is what the right wants. So when you have candidates like Josh Mandel tweeting, "We stand with General Flynn," right after this comment and the controversy that it stirred up, it is interesting to note that Mandel's grandfather survived the Holocaust. Like, he knows full well how anti-Semitic America is, the world is. And so just standing by as people try to erase the contributions of every non-Christian who has done something for America is ridiculous. But Ilhan Omar also point out these people hate the US Constitution, which obviously does not allow for the insane nonsense that Mike Flynn is saying there. But they double down. They hate the Constitution. They want us to have a Christian fascist state. Josh Mandel went on to say, he tweeted over the course of 2 days, "America was not founded as a secular nation," which is just ahistorical nonsense.
Yes.
And then, "Freedom of religion does not equal freedom from religion," which is an interesting way to sell your religion, which is you're not free from us. That's very threatening as a sales pitch, personally. But that's what they want. They know that that's what their base wants, and they will use it. They have a few tools to get their base fired up, and they will use them.
Yeah, 100%. And one of those tools that is the biggest and actually is not fringe at all is the Supreme Court. And the Christian nationalist agenda is very much bearing the fruit of 3 Supreme Court nominations that the former president got. And so they're in there and they're licking their chops and they're going after you know, Roe v. Wade. I think they're going to be also going after gay marriage. And I know we think that that's the law of the land. I wouldn't bet on it. Things can get a whole lot worse. So again, it's like we keep getting reminded. It's just a cold splash of water to get reminded of like as inept and awful as Democrats are, that my God, the Supreme Court is so, so important. And so what's Biden's plan? What are you going to do? Are you going to expand that Supreme Court, buddy? Nope. You going to abolish any student debt? Nope. I mean, it's just, anyway, it's terrifying.
He's not going to get anyone on it. They're going to block him. No matter what, the current state of the, like, Manchin will have an issue with it. They'll punt it for 6 months. The Republicans will take over. He won't get a spot. That's my prediction. Anyway, yeah. And Flynn is out there. Like, he was saying a Myanmar like coup should happen. He was gifted a gun on stage. He said, maybe I'll go to DC with this. He He's threatening to kill people. Like, this guy is like, there's sitting Republican politicians doing events with him. He could be in the White House again if Trump wins a second term. Like, nobody takes any of this seriously. Least of all the people currently in power in the Democratic Party. Anyway, we're gonna end the show on not a light note necessarily, but a different note at least. Let's jump into this video. Okay, so that was exactly what you think it was. It was a woman, I'm gonna say with a dash of hope, drunk, who didn't want to wear a mask and was asked to, and decided, oh, well, then in that case, my life is now making the life of this worker, someone who's working in food service, as much of a hell as possible. And so she began berating her, calling her all sorts of names. Her vocabulary of swears was limited. There was a lot of repetition, but it was very offensive. And then she decided to swing at this worker who was just trying to enforce a mask mandate that she didn't come up with and might not even support, but it is her job. And it didn't work out so well for her in the end.
You know, that's too bad. I do feel though, like out of all these videos, we haven't seen a lot of like Gen Z representation, and she kind of like was giving me some Gen Z vibes, and I was like, okay, Gen Z, go off. You're trying to, you can, you know, not only following the Karen videos on TikTok, you're trying to be in the Karen videos on TikTok, and like more power to you. Trash is every generation, so there's trash in every single one. Don't blame boomers. You know, Facebook is not their fault. It's just how they keep in touch with their kids. And there's some great boomers out there. So yeah, obviously, you know, a little tingle in my soul when she gets clocked. I'm not gonna lie. Because after berating somebody that long and hard, I don't care who you are, especially if you're, it looks like she's like trying to use the bathroom, trying to like, you know, buy a muffin or something. Please, honey, please.
Maybe a muffin. I'm thinking of calzone, a late night calzone.
Something to absorb the alcohol.
Look, which is not, that's a good plan. Anyway, Shoegaze Dragon George in the comments says, was away from my phone and I was wondering why John was showing a video of a commercial truck backing up. There were a few bleeps in that. But anyway, look, I don't want anyone to get hit. I don't want the anti-vaxxer to get hit. I definitely don't want the person working at a restaurant to get hit. And I hate that one of the things coming out of this pandemic is just, like, we already treated the working class like garbage in this country. Our government did, and most people did. We're pitted against each other. But we have even less, like, just, I don't even, like, respect isn't the right word. We just, like, less willingness to treat them with any dignity or humanity whatsoever. Whether they're flight attendants, whether they're working a cash register, they're like the front of store at Walmart. We have been just victimizing these people, and they've been sent out there to do this by bad actors in media. And
we wonder why people don't want to. We wonder why people don't want to work for minimum wage anymore. Oh my God. One, you should raise minimum wage. And two, like, yes, no one's getting paid enough to get treated like trash like that.
Definitely not. Okay, everybody, we do have more news to get to. So stick around. We're going to take a short break, but we'll be back after this. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.